This is Closer Than You Think, a The Hobbit fanfic written by Sospace and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains major spoilers for the end of The Hobbit, which probably means spoilers for the third movie as well, including the Battle of Five Armies. When the battle is over, Thorin sits alone and cleans black blood from Orcrist's shining blade. His movements are slow and repetitive, almost trance-like, and he is so tired. The fire in his heart that blazed up the moment he set foot in Erebor after all these years is burned down to embers now, because there is so much death all around him, so many of his people with heads severed and chests caved in. And all he can do is sit and breathe and clean the gore from his sword. His nephews are alive. They came so close to those black gates, so close it makes Thorin sick to think about it. But they escaped, and they wander the battlefield right now with the rest of the company, helping the wounded, closing the eyes of the dead. For a moment, Thorin closes his eyes and listens to the quiet of the sky. When Orcrist is clean as the day it was forged, Thorin watches the elves. They step across the carnage as calmly as leaves in the breeze, no emotion in their eyes as they retrieve their dead. And Thorin's lip curls, his heart hardens. They claim to be enlightened, blessed, but they're empty inside. They couldn't care less if they saw their own kin lying here in the blood with glassy eyes and broken limbs. Thorin thinks of the arrow that missed Fili by an inch, and something twists in his heart. Something tiny and terrified, and so very glad. The Elven King stands not far away, silhouetted against the setting sun, pliant armor strapped to his body and his bow slung across his back. He hasn't moved for a long time, not to care for his people, not to see to his dead. He hasn't moved for a long time, not to care for his people, not to see to his dead. The wind is strong, gusting the stench of death away from the mountain, and that same breeze tugs at Thranduil's hair, whipping it into snakes and vines. And the elf's head is bowed, his body lax. Thorin slides Orcrist back into its sheath, wipes blood off his hands onto his thighs. His muscles sing with a sweet, dark ache, and he watches the Elven King, watches that cold heart, those emotionless eyes. His lip curls. This is the creature who dared to think he could keep them captive, keep Thorin from his birthright. Fool, he thinks scathingly, bitterly. But then Thranduil is moving, picking his way through the slaughter with all the grace of his people, and Thorin's too tired to look away. The mountain is already in shadow, but the sun still paints stripes of brightness across the field, illuminating the faces of the slain in awful clarity. But all Thorin can see is the sudden fear that spasms across the Elven King's face. There's no calm there, not anymore. None of the ice that gleamed in his eyes when he threw Thorin to rot in a cell. It's all panic and fear and, oh, love. Thorin's fingers tighten around Orcrist's hilt. Thranduil is on his knees, dragging one of the dead on the ground into his arms. And the battlefield isn't quiet, isn't silent. It's full of groans and cries and wailing screams. But Thorin can hear the Elven King's roar rising above that, crazed and full of grief. He doesn't understand the words. They're gabbled in Elvish. And even if he spoke more than the smattering he does, He doesn't think he'd be able to translate through all that pain. But he sees the boy in Thranduil's arms, sees the blood in his hair and the closed eyes, and the lines of his cheekbones echoed in Thranduil's face. Thorin thinks, that's his son. And he remembers Kili's cheek, slashed deep and awful and bloody, but still with the chance to heal. Unexpectedly, unwantedly, his heart goes out to the elf on his knees with his son in his arms. And there's still color in the boy's cheeks, still rise in his chest. He's not dead, not yet. And Thorin's on his feet before he really knows what he's doing. He's at the Elven King's side in half a moment, and he's taking the boy's wrist, feeling for the thud of blood through his veins. The heartbeat throbs beneath his fingertips, slightly slow but beautifully steady, and he says, he's alive. Something twists in his gut, something that remembers Thror's death and Thrain's insanity, and he grabs Thranduil by the shoulder, shakes him. He's alive! Help me! Thranduil's eyes are panicky and feverishly bright, and Thorin refuses to think about the madness that he knows would have taken him if his nephews hadn't made it. The same madness that's raging in the Elven King right now, driven by grief and loss and love. Elves do feel, after all. And Thorin slaps Thranduil hard, jolts him halfway out of his grief, says, carry him, carry your son, we'll find a healer. His heart is thudding loud in his ears, so much faster than the thready pulse under his fingertips. And he says, too many have died today. They stumble across the battlefield together, Thorin leading Thranduil through the stench of death. And a part of him aches to find his nephews, crush them to him and never let them go until he can deliver them safe into their mother's arms. They find Dori in the end, his satchel nearly empty, and Thranduil cradles his son in his arms as he cleans the gash raked across his stomach of blood and gore and dirt, stuffs the wound with herbs, pulls the edges shut with half a dozen stitches. Thorin helps to tie the bandage tight, and he sees Dori's gaze flickering to Thranduil, intent only on his son, sees the confusion and surprise in his friend's eyes. And some little rebellious voice in his heart whispers, why are you surprised? He nearly lost his child. They're not so different, not so strange. Dori fetches a torch when the sun dips below the horizon, comes back with his brother in tow, blood still smeared across Ori's cheeks, something older in his eyes now. And when the elf boy's eyes finally open to the gleam of the moon overhead, Thorin lets out a breath he didn't know he was holding. There are tears in Thranduil's eyes, and he says, Legolas, Legolas! Kisses his son's forehead, runs his hands through his hair as if he can't believe what he's seeing, what he's feeling. The boy's eyes are bleary still, his pale hair matted and stained. But he's reaching blindly for Thranduil's hands, and his voice is strong when he whispers, Adda. Thorin knows enough Elvish for that. He gets to his feet, steps away, and his thoughts are full of his nephews, of how small they were the first time he saw them, chasing each other around his sister's skirts. And how brave they were with all the orcs of the world bearing down on them, firm at each other's side with each other's names on their lips. He needs them beside him, needs to reassure himself that it wasn't all some dream, that they're here, that they're alive. Thorin Oakenshield, Thranduil says, soft and quiet. Thank you. Thorin thinks this might be the beginning of something better. He never thought he'd think that of an elf. He glances back, sees the boy's eyes are closed in the firelight. But he's sleeping, just resting. Care for your son, he says, sees the wonder in his friend's eyes. And together we will rebuild. Thranduil nods, just once, and his hands are tight around his son's. Thorin goes, finds his nephews, kisses Fili's forehead and grips Kili's hand tight, and lets the tiredness wash over him. The battle is done. They have survived. And now they have all the time in the world. The end.